Bless. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 235, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Lord, my petition heed. Now help me in my need, my Savior be. I am thy servant, Lord. My trust is in thy word. Mercy to me afford. I cry to thee. 1, 2, and 3 of 235.
Scripture reading for this afternoon can be found in the Gospel according to John, and thereof chapter 3. But first, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John chapter 3, and thereof the first 18 verses. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Thus far.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. O Lord of heaven and of earth, thou knowest all that takes place in the world that is round about us, that is also in our hearts so often. And thou hast given such a great wonder to be commemorated in the midst of this world. But man in his fallen state and condition does not understand it.
And Lord, thou knowest that we don't understand it either, unless thou dost open it unto us. We have just heard it out of thy word. How can these things be? That is so often the question that lives, O Lord, in our hearts too. How can this be? And how can that be? But thou sayest, I have told you even of earthly things, earthly examples. If ye believe not them, how shall ye believe the heavenly things? O Lord, we are so ignorant. We are fallen dead in trespasses and sins by nature. And thou didst instruct Nicodemus of old. Thou didst draw him by the secret power of thy most Holy Spirit, that thou wouldest remember also each and every one of us, that we also may be drawn by thy power, and that we may be given understanding hearts, that it is necessary, and that a need be wrought in our heart. And Lord, thou alone can give this unto us also, because we do not see it by nature. It is told unto us, thou givest us thy holy word, and we are so blind and dumb and ignorant. Oh, that thou may give us life in our souls, that may begin to live and to breathe after thee, and that we may begin to truly sorrow for our sins, that we might know from what we need to be delivered, that we may not only have a mere outward clamor about thy dear Son, but that there may be an urgent need in our hearts, that he would deliver us from all our iniquities, to take away our guilt, and to cleanse us from all our pollution and our corruption, and to renew us, that we might be made a new man, and that we might walk according to all thy blessed and holy commandments, as thy dear and holy child did when he was upon this world, and he did say so often, "Follow me." Lord, that thou may bring it into our hearts with power, and give a heart that might need thee in truth and in uprightness, and thy dear Son whom thou hast sent into this world. And thou knowest each and every one of thy own children, in whom and that there are riddles, Lord, that thou may solve the riddles for them that can only be solved by thee, by the revelation of thy dear and only begotten Son, or when we may see him, and then everything is solved for us, and then it all comes from thee, then we see thy hand, and then we receive it all so free. O Lord, then it is to thy honor and to thy glory, and within the heart and also in the expressions of the mouth, the confession of the mouth unto salvation, and in glory where thy angels do sing and magnify thee. O that thou may look on us, poor creatures, upon the earth, look on us from heaven, thy dwelling place, especially when we may be in thy house of prayer. Lord, thou knowest all that lives in our heart and the desires of our heart. And when there is no desire, thou can give a desire. And if there is a desire, thou canst fulfill the desire, and thou wilt fulfill it, because that is from thee. Oh, bless thy people, Lord. Give them a little token of thy nearness, presence, and favor and blessing this day, this hour, that thou may give a little instruction upon that straight and narrow way, and that thou may remember the children and the youth, all given the days of their childhood and youth, and give unto them those blessed longings, that they might know the true God, and that they might turn from sin, and that they might live in a new and a holy life, that thou wouldst watch over and protect them from the devices of the prince of darkness, who goes about not only as a roaring lion, but also as an angel of light to seek whom he may devour, even with the semblance of thy truth, and to deceive with it, or that thou may remember them when they are young. And wilt thou help parents in the bringing up of our children, for thou knowest all that we stand in need of. So many times and that a parent does not know what to do. Oh, that thy throne of grace, O Lord, may be open, and that it may be felt, that they may bow their knees, and that they may go to thee and say, Lord, thou hast given to me these children, but I do not know how to lead my children. Give me a new heart myself, and give me thy grace, and give me wisdom, and that thou may bless us together as a family. Look on us, O Lord, as a congregation. Bless us with thy favor that is so undeserved from our side. But wilt thou take reasons out of thyself to do it? Be with all that rule and reign over us. Wilt thou give hearts also that might acknowledge thee, the true and the only God, and that they might know that they have to answer for all in that place that thou hast given them, the responsibilities, that thou may bind the seriousness thereof upon their hearts, and wilt thou give thy word a place in this nation and in this province and in this place where we do dwell. Care for all that bring thy word, thy servants, the student, the missionaries, all those that labor in thy kingdom, elders and deacons, remember school teachers, and all those that labor for the schools, and thou knowest the capacities, Lord, it is all for thy kingdom, and for the sake of the building of thy kingdom. Wilt thou then remember, for thou art the king of thy church, put away the devices of the devil, and be with us also as a congregation. Thou knowest the weak, thou knowest sick, thou knowest the widows, thou knowest the lonely, thou knowest where there are difficulties in families, and thou knowest the natural, the spiritual, thou knowest the physical, the mental needs, all known to thee. Lord, wilt thou look upon all the needy and supply out of thy goodness and out of thy fullness also in this hour, when we are together round about thy holy word of truth once again, that is a wonder, and that thou givest a desire to come up unto thy house two times and to be round about thy word of truth. O Lord, bless it then in thy mercy, and give a token from above, even when it is only form and custom from our side. Thou art still able to bless it for the good of our souls. Oh, may it be then in this hour a good hour to be together under thy Holy Spirit direction, and could it be instruction and leading all together for Jesus' sake. Amen.
while your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 250, stanzas 1, 2, and 5. How good it is to thank the Lord and praise to Thee, Most High Accord, to show Thy love with morning light and tell Thy faithfulness each night. Yea, good it is Thy praise to sing and all our sweetest music bring. 1, 2, and 5 of Psalter 250. God is a God of order. We see that in the creation when we only look around us and we see everything that the Lord has made with His own hands, and then we see a great and a beautiful order. That is also an example for us in a natural way in this world. How is that with our houses, mothers? Are they also in order? And our businesses, fathers, our farm, our classroom teachers, God is a God of order. But that is not only in a natural way, that is also in a spiritual way, because the work of redemption the Lord has done in a very blessed, orderly way. We have begun to commemorate this. We have begun to follow, as we do every year, what we call the church calendar. Then we begin always with the Advent season. And we commemorate Christmas as we do now. And we will speak, the Lord willing, about the suffering, the passion of Christ, and Easter, and how that He has resurrected from the dead and did ascend into heaven and sent forth His Spirit. Every one of those are steps in that blessed order and that the Lord has delivered His church by. Every one of those steps was necessary. There could not be a single one of those steps left out. But that is not only in the redemption of man, that has also to do with the application. Then the Lord is also leading in a certain, in a particular order. And there are steps in the life of grace. And those steps are corresponding to that way that the Lord has led His own Son and to deliver His church. But there is a difference. We said that for Christ, every single one of those steps was necessary to take place. And that is not so with His people. No, there are certain steps that are necessary to know before that we die, before that we have to appear before God. There are other things that the Lord sometimes blesses His people with, the further leadings of the Spirit of the Lord, which are not given to each and every one of His children here below, but which will be given unto them when they pass through that last Jordan and are received up once again into glory. What are those things that are necessary to know in the experience of the life of God's children? Well, we commemorate Christmas. And Christmas needs to be experienced by us. It needs to be experienced in our heart before that we die. Our text, with the Lord's help for this afternoon, can be found in the portion that was read to you, John 3, verse 16. John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So far, the words of our text. The gift of the Son is what our text speaks about. First, the giving of this gift. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The giving of this gift. Second, the receiving of this gift, that whosoever believeth in Him, the receiving of this gift. And third, the blessing in this gift should not perish, but have everlasting life, and that we hope to speak about next time, the Lord willing. Thus, the gift of the Son, the giving of this gift, second, the receiving of this gift, and next time, the Lord willing, the blessing in this gift. Our text, congregation, speaks about a gift. It says, God gave. And Paul says to the Corinthians, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. And what gift is that, children? Well, you say that is the gift that was lying in that manger, in that stable in Bethlehem. And that is right, that is the gift of God, that is the gift of the Son of God coming in the flesh, coming in the human nature. And the Bible says that when he came into this world, that he said, a body hast thou given me. Thus, when Christ came into the world, he said unto the Father that the Father had given unto him a body, that the Father had given unto him that human nature. That is itself a gift. Do we believe that? That we, our human nature, do we ever feel that? What a gift that we have. That we have a human nature. The angels do not have that gift. The angels are spirits. They do not have a soul. They do not have a body. How much greater has God created man with this gift of a human nature than the angels? Christ had always a divine nature, but he was at one time a spirit, like his Father is a spirit, like the Holy Spirit is a spirit. They have not a body, but Christ was given a body. That was also a gift to him. A gift from his own Father, he says. Is that not a wonderful thing? That he should be both God and man? That he should be Emmanuel? That he should have two natures in one person? And one of those natures being ours? Do you know that we have an example? And then we have in the Bible the life of the Lord Jesus and how that he has lived that life here in this world. Maybe you ask that sometimes, young people. How must a person really live in this wicked world if he will serve the Lord? You say, is that even possible in this world? Yes, it is possible. That is what Christ did. And he was here in this world in the perfection of his divine nature. Thus we have an example from him how to live in this world. But that human nature was not only given to him by his Father. We also read that the Lord Jesus took that human nature upon himself. Thus, it is not only coming from his Father, but it was also his own work. And who else? Who else had his hand in that, children? You know. Because we can read how that the angel Gabriel came to Mary and said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. Thus we have the three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They are all working together in unity to bring this gift of God unto the world. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, to give unto the world God in the human nature. For God so loved this world and that He gave His only begotten Son. That is actually a very special thing for the Father to give His Son. Why is that so special? Well, what did He give Him for? What did He give Him to? He gave Him to death. He gave Him as a sacrifice. You say that was a special thing for Abraham to do, to obey God. Then God says, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and offer him upon that mount. And He did it. So that is a very special thing to for a father to give his son unto suffering. And especially because a son that is, in the eyes of a father, something a little bit of himself. Thus, the father, he is giving something of himself. And, of course, that is for a father also a very painful thing when he will see his own son, when he will see his own child to suffer. And yet, our text says, he did give him. Well, how is that? Well, he gave him, we read, out of love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. There you have the eternal foundation out of which the Son was given as a gift. That is the love of the Father. He did not have to give Him. There was nothing that compelled God the Father to give His Son. We have seen that before. There are things that compel God. God is compelled of Himself by His attributes, by His justice, by His righteousness, by His holiness, and so on. He is sometimes compelled of Himself. He was not compelled to do this, to give His Son. Thus, that giving of His Son that has proceeded only upon the good pleasure of the Father. Is not He good? O congregation, do we ever have in our whole life a hard thought of God? Do you ever have that, young people? A hard thought of God? Maybe you think about predestination, you think about election. Oh, and you say, how can that be? Oh, you think maybe that God is hard. Oh, you see how that God sometimes allows afflictions to come on His people. And then you maybe have a hard thought of God. Oh, that does not belong in our heart. It does not belong near us, anywhere near us. No, the Lord is nothing but good. We have no reason to complain about Him. He is so full of love. He is so full of goodness, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And now what is a gift? A gift. They give many gifts at this time in the world. And when you give a gift, then you give that for nothing. That is what a gift is. That is something that is not requiring anything in return. And there is no merit for a gift. What does that mean? That means, congregation, that is all from the side of the Lord. Everything. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. That is what it means. It is a gift. It means that it is a one-sided work. And it means that the salvation for God's people is so completely free, so completely free, that there is not one smallest thing that that people are required to add. Everything is accomplished by the Father, by the Son, and by the Holy Ghost. From the beginning unto the end, it is entirely a gift, even His Son Himself, or as human beings. Then we also sometimes do give a gift. And when we give a gift, then we become poorer, because we have to take out of the things that we have, and when we give them away, and then the other has more, but at the same time, we have less. You say, we cannot keep doing that, because soon we will go broke, because what we have is not infinite. No, that is finite. How is that different with God? Oh, it is different with God because He is Himself an infinite fullness. An infinite fullness. It is a fullness that is inexhaustible. He can give out of that fullness, and there is no diminishing in God. He does not become less. He does not have less. No, when He does give, then He receives more, if that can be. That one who is so very, very full that He cannot be added to, and yet that He increases, increasing in subjects, increasing in honor, increasing in glory. Oh, it is with Him so full. He has everything. There is not only the cattle on a thousand hills here below. No, it is an infinite fullness in not only natural but also the spiritual goods to give unto His creatures. And He loses nothing. He loses nothing by His giving. Such a benefactor. For such a benefactor now to give, that can be nothing but a delight. When He is giving out of that fullness. Why? Because what do we read Solomon says? He says the grave that is never satisfied. That is one of those things, never satisfied. Always opening the earth, always yawning. It is never full. And so it is always ready to receive another body. And now a fullness. When there is in the Lord an inexhaustible fullness, what does it want to do? Well, it wants to break forth. It wants to give out. Thus, for the Lord to give, that is nothing but what that fullness in itself desires to do as a function, as it were, in itself. All that is then so very pleasing to God. Do you know what He says? It is better to give than to receive. Oh, you say, if I could just receive it. Oh, if He could just give it. Because for Him to give, He is more ready to give than we are to receive. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? That is here in this word too. Oh, that giving is an exercise of His love. God is love. And what does love want to do? That love wants to give. So it all proceeds from Himself. It all proceeds from His attributes. It all proceeds from His being. That is natural for Him. We would say it would be a painful thing if the Lord would withhold and try to keep in all that goodness and all that gift that he has to give into this world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And now what makes that even a greater wonder for his people? That is the necessity of that gift. Oh, the Lord cannot expect anything from his people. Nothing from his people that is of any worth. And because he cannot expect anything from them, it all has to come out of himself. Do you know what the Lord has known from eternity? Foreknown from eternity? The impoverishment, the poverty of his people. How that would be by that deep fall. That was even decreed by himself. They would have no way to deliver themselves out of that pit. Do you ever feel that? No way to deliver myself out of this pit of sin and corruption that I have brought myself into. I cannot deliver myself from my guilt, and I cannot deliver myself from my own wretchedness. No, the Lord knew that. If there would be any deliverance, then it must come from me. The Lord looked, we read, and he beheld, and he wondered that there was no man, that there was none to uphold. And therefore, he says, mine own arm brought salvation unto me. It will be by the gift of the Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Oh, you say, but is it now for me? I hope you ask that question, young people. Because there are so many people who never ask that question. They make an assumption. They make an assumption. A dangerous assumption. But do you also ask that question? An all-important question. That is our second thought. The receiving of this gift. Because it is one thing to give, and it is another thing for that gift to be received. Those two things are distinct. So giving is an act of the giver, and receiving is an act of the receiver. The giver is not receiving, and the receiver is not giving. They are the acts of two different persons. And yet, those two acts are very, very intimately related to one another. How? Well, they are related by what we call the chain of salvation sometimes. Because the Apostle Paul, he speaks about God foreknowing. He says, whom he did foreknow, them also did he predestinate. And whom he predestinated, them he did also call. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. So it is like a chain. And those chains are all connected, a divine chain. So if there is the first chain that is connected to the last link, they're all connected together and they cannot be separated from one another. That is why we say that these two things, the giving and the receiving, they are intimately connected together, though they are two distinct things. Thus, there is no uncertainty in the salvation of the elect. That is all from the side of the Lord. And though their will also be involved, there is no uncertainty from the side of God what shall take place. Why not? Because he will influence that will. He will have a willing people in the day of his power. are you also influenced? Is your will also influenced by the Spirit of the Lord? Is your will drawn by the Spirit of the Lord to make a choice that is different from the choice that we make by nature? That is how the Lord is influencing that will. And that is part of that chain, we say, of salvation. Or you say, it says here in the text, for God so loved the world. And certainly the whole world, they are not saved. So what happens then to your chain of salvation? If God so loved the world, and that love is connected, that first link is connected to that last link of salvation, and God loves the world, and you say, well, then it is broken somewhere. How can that be? That is what Nicodemus asked, right? How can these things be? No, that cannot be. That cannot be. That God would love, to love his elect, a person, and that person would not be saved. That cannot be. Then there is a contradiction in that word of God. And there cannot be a contradiction in the word of God. So that what means we must be wrong in our interpretation of that word of God. Do you ever say that, young people? You ever say that? Well, you say that defies all reason. It is a contradiction. And therefore, do you say, I am wrong in the way that I am thinking? That is what we have to say. Not that Scripture is wrong. No, that Scripture has stood the test of time. That is the Word of God. But we are the foolish ones. And we do not know what that Word of God means. And we need to ask the Lord for light. And now when the Lord, he says, for God so loved the world, what does he mean? Well, that does not mean each and every single person in the world. No, that simply means the world over against the Jews. Because the Jews in that time, they said, well, we are the people of the Lord. That is the nation of the Jews. That was God's kingdom. That was God's people. And now just at this time, and you can hear that in the Old Testament once in a while, that it will be for more than the Jewish nation. But now in the time of Christ, in the time of the apostles, then you hear that more and more, that word world, and the words all men, not meaning each and every person, but meaning that it is going now to go out to all flesh, over the length and the breadth of the whole world. So when it says, now God so loved the world, that means that God loves his people that are in the world, but that are not just in the Jewish nation, but that are all over the world. For God so loved the world. The Lord Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus is a Pharisee. He is a Pharisee. And what does the Lord now do? He begins to break down that wretched pride of that Jewish nation that would keep them out of the kingdom of God. We are that chosen people. And the Lord Jesus is speaking to this Nicodemus. And he, as it were, will take down the swelling of that pride. That is always his first work. That the Lord needs to bring us down, that the Lord needs to bring us low. And now there are multitudes in the whole world. And they are saying this, that Christ has died for each and every man in the world. And now, it is just because men in the world do not exercise a power which is given to them in common grace to take hold of it, that blessing, because they do not do that, that is why they go lost. They have the power to do it. The Spirit gives them that power, everyone that power. It is a twisting. The devil, he takes the word of the Lord and he twists it to the destruction of so many persons in this world. And you know what it is? It is a robbing. It is a robbing of the true church of their true comfort from the Lord. It is denying that one-sided work of the Lord that has become the foundation of the hope of God's people who cannot bring forth one thing that is good. Oh, that is what they have come to hope upon. That is the foundation of the salvation of His people, that it is all coming and that it is all finished from the side of God. And Satan, he wants to take it away from that people. He will make God's people mourn and he will make the wicked to rejoice, but it is only for a short time. It is not so, congregation. We read it here. We read it here because the Lord Jesus also speaks about the receiving of this gift. He says that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What does He speak about? Well, believing. What is that? Faith. Faith. Believing is the work of faith. So we have the existing of faith and the action of faith, that is to believe. So faith is necessary. Believing is necessary to receive that gift. Why? Because it is a spiritual gift. And faith or believing is the hand by which we receive spiritual things. But there are so many counterfeits. Counterfeits of faith. Does the Lord Jesus know that? Oh, the Lord Jesus, He knows that very well. What does He say here to Nicodemus? Nicodemus came to the Lord Jesus here by night, the night disciple. He is inquisitive. He is asking questions. Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Miracles. Miracles. Well, you read that elsewhere. That the Lord Jesus said to the people, He says that you believe not because you saw the miracles, but you believe because you ate of the loaves, so you want just the benefits. But what do the miracles do? Well, they show something. They show something. That I am not a mere man, no, but that I am also God. Oh, God was pleased to work miracles in those days. Why? It was so difficult. He was a human being just like us. And He came under the consequences of sin. He had sickness, weakness, tired, and so on. Consequences, not sin itself. Consequences of sin. Oh, that was not so easy for the people. The Son of God. He says He is the Son of God. Pharisees say no. Oh, who shall we believe? Who would you have believed, young people, when you saw Him in the flesh? Difficult. Miracles. Oh, they were a help. They were a help to see that He was not just like every other man in this world. No, but He did miracles of God. And so Nicodemus says, we know, we see, you must be from God because you do those miracles. That is good. That is good, Nicodemus. That is the way it ought to be. And yet what does the Lord Jesus say? He says, Nicodemus, it is not enough. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Oh, what does the Lord Jesus say to Nicodemus? He says, Nicodemus, wait a moment. Wait a moment. Now you go immediately to speak about Christ. You go immediately to speak about one who is doing miracles. But, he says, we need to go back. We need to go back because there are steps. There are steps in that life of grace. And so, Nicodemus, we need to go back to the beginning. And what is the beginning? Oh, he says, Nicodemus, we need to be born again. Oh, that believing, that faith that is saving to the soul, that proceeds from something, that is a fruit of something. It is a fruit of the new birth. It is the fruit of regeneration, Nicodemus. It is not that which comes just from the natural man. Oh, let us go back to the beginning. Nicodemus, we need to be born again. Do you know what that means? That we are dead. We are dead in trespasses and in sins. That's where it has to start, Nicodemus. And then, from there, the Lord builds upon that foundation. Thus, that is what we need to know. You say, well, how can we know the difference between what is that true faith and what is not the true faith? Let us sing first. 399, 2, 3, and 4. To every generation thy glory shall be told, thy honor and thy majesty in memory I will hold. Thy mighty power and greatness shall all mankind confess, and tell the story of thy love, and sing thy righteousness. 2, 3, and 4 of 399. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. There are such great benefits, congregation, to be received in and through this gift of God. We hope to speak about that next time. Not perish, but have everlasting life. But now to whom do they belong? Because that here comes first. You say it belongs to God's people. That is right. But here we want to know from the Word of God who those people are. Do you want to know that too? Say, am I also one of God's true people? Well, what does it say here? It says, whosoever believeth in him. There you have it. That is the sure, that is the certain mark or evidence by which a man may examine himself. You say, well, what does that mean? What does it mean to believe in him? That we need to know what true faith is. And that we need to distinguish that faith like we do in catechism, confession class, historical faith, temporary faith, miraculous faith. But is it now true saving faith? And saving faith, young people, you have learned that. Three aspects to saving faith. Knowledge, assent, and trust. And now Nicodemus, he speaks here about knowledge. We know that thou art a teacher come from God. And what does the Lord Jesus say? He says, yes, Nicodemus, but that is not yet that true saving knowledge. No, because that knowledge that is essentially different from that saving knowledge. There are many teachers that come from God. But I am much more than all the other teachers that come from God. Do you believe, Nicodemus, that I am the only begotten Son of God? That is necessary. It is necessary. That is not so easy for you to see. I know that because you see me in my weakness, because I have come under the effects of your sin. So I know that is not so very easy for you. And those miracles that I do, they help you. They help you. But, Nicodemus, you have to experience the power. My power, the power of that Son of God, you need to experience that power in your own soul. As the gift of God. You know what you must do, Nicodemus? You must assent. That is the second aspect of true saving faith. You must assent. What does that mean? That means, Nicodemus, you must agree. And what do you need to agree to? Well, you need to agree to receive the gift of God. You need to agree to that. That is not the same as giving. The giver gives, but the receiver receives. You say, the Lord gives it to his people. He gives them the power to receive it. They cannot receive it in their own strength. That is all true. Yet, it is their act. It is the act of the receiver. Faith, true faith, is not the act of God. No, it is the act of his people. You say, why do you speak about that? Why do you make something of that? Is that not natural? Does that, is not, when someone will give you a gift, you say, well, of course you receive it. Those two things, and they go together. Yes. Typically, in this world, they do. But that is not so concerning this gift. That is not so concerning the gift of God. This assenting, to assent, to agree to receive this gift is one of the most difficult things for the true church of God to do. It is really impossible. For this, they need to be led by the Spirit of the Lord. That takes a most powerful work of the Spirit of the Lord, often many years, before His people will agree, will ascend to receive that gift. Temporary faith that makes great claims to receiving that gift. But the superficiality of those claims will one day be exposed. Why is that so hard? Faith to ascend, to agree, to receive this gift. Why is that so hard? Well, congregation, the first covenant had no gifts. It had no gifts. There were no gifts when the Lord made Adam and He agreed with Adam in that covenant. No, there, when Adam would obey, he would receive a reward. A reward for his obedience. So it was not by gift. There were no gifts there. Everything there had to be earned. And when we earn it, boys and girls, young people, you are doing your studies, and then you get a nice grade, right? And then you say, well, I have earned that by my work. And then there is some credit that goes to you, and rightly so, right? Rightly so. Then you did hard work, and you have earned it. You also feel that. It's not just a gift. Because if you had done nothing, and then your teacher had just given it to you as a gift, well, you say, that would be something else. Now to receive this gift. How do we explain it? To assent. I will just use that same example I gave to my catechism class this week. They are 17, they are 18, they are 19 years old. They listen very well, by the way. That's much appreciated, young people. You know what you do when you listen like that? You draw the heart of your teacher. When you are all eyes and when you are all ears, I feel that. I feel that. And I hope that you may feel that too. And all of you children, boys and girls, when you are listening in school, that you are listening with your heart. But now they are 17, 18, 19 years old. And then I ask them a question, a simple question. You say it's maybe foolish, but it's true. How many of you, when your mother would say to you, let me help you to put on your socks, how many would let your mother do that? then we don't get so much of an answer, right? You will not just do that, right, boys and girls? Why will you not do that? She says, let me help you. No, you say, I can do it. I can do it. I don't need your help. I'm independent. I have the power to do it. But I had to ask my mother when I was 19 years old to put on my sock. Why? Because I could not do it. I could not do it. Because I fell, and because I had my cast on, and I couldn't reach my foot. And I needed to have that sock on. And what does that mean? Well, there you sit, 19 years old, right? And your mother has to put on your sock. That is humbling. Congregation, I had to agree. I had to agree. To what? I cannot, and I need it. I cannot. And so she did it, so freely. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him. What is that? Then there are people that are brought to receive him as the gift of God. As the gift of God. How much instruction in self-knowledge is necessary to bring a person to receive him as a gift? We are not just ready to do that. You may ask Naaman the Syrian about receiving, about assenting, about agreeing, and the difficulty with faith, true saving faith. Oh, that did not happen just like that. That river, no payment, you receive nothing. That is not the way I came here. Oh, how much work. How much work that Spirit of the Lord has to do to break down a man in his pride. Remember that Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. There is something of a shame there. Shame. He will not do that in front of everyone else. He will not humble himself. He will not show the greatness of the need of his heart, which is working in him. Though he is making some profession yet with all those Pharisees, but in him, the Lord, he is stirring his heart. Oh, to agree. Then the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, has so much work to do. So what we think is the easiest part is actually the hardest part. The hardest part. What did the Lord Jesus say? Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How often would I have gathered thee as a hen doth gather her chickens under her wings? And ye would not. You will not agree. Man does not assent. To agree, we must confess our deep fall. To agree, we must confess our inability. To agree, our pride must be laid in the dust. And we will not do that.
That is what we need to ask for. That is what we need to beg for. Lord, become too strong for me. Oh, humble me. Show me the wretchedness of my heart. Show me the depth of my fall. And make room for me to be able to receive this gift. Is that possible? Oh, yes, that is possible. Saul himself, Saul of Tarsus, he says, anyone that knew me, if they would testify when they knew of me before, all they would say, they would testify of me that I lived after the most straitest sect, a Pharisee. What place did the gift of God have in the life of Saul of Tarsus? And no place. No place at all. Opposite. He persecuted those that believed on him. He despised those who needed it all by gift. He despised those who were in their poverty, in their helplessness. He didn't understand their helplessness. He did not understand their poverty. That they could not do it until the Lord took away his strength. The Lord laid that man low in all his righteousness, in all of his ability. Then everything changed. Everything. 3 days, he was brought to a grave. 3 days, he was brought to a scent. In 3 days, he was brought to believe. Then the Lord was revealed to him in his helplessness. Oh, how suitable was a gift to him then? How precious was it then to him? When he was blind, when he was helpless, when he was filthy, when he was guilty, when he was polluted. Oh, then that gift. What did he see in that? Then he saw everything. For him, congregation, then it was the only way. The only way. Did it ever become so to you? Oh, then there are great blessings connected to that. The Lord give us the ability to say something of that. But congregation, did it now ever become Christmas in your soul? Because that is what we try a little here to describe, Christmas in the soul of a man. Then it has to become a stable in your heart. That is in the first place necessary, because that is where Christ is always born, in the stable, in the stench, in the wickedness, the worldliness, the emptiness, the vanity, the carnality, the sin. Oh, that heart, that heart, that heart of mine. Oh, when everything from the crown of the head to the sole of the foot has become sin. Ever become so? Your whole life. Your whole life. The length of it and the breadth of it. And when I cannot do anything about it. When I cannot change it, then you will agree. Then you will agree to receive this gift. And then it will become such a wonder that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Oh, then it will become Christmas in your soul. And then you will begin to sing along with those angels. Oh, Boston says a note higher. The and the song of the angels, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Toward men such as I am. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, that faith, all we have tried a little way, Lord, give it in our hearts. We cannot humble ourselves. We cannot bring ourselves in that right place. Only thou can do so. To make us to agree to receive it all for nothing, because it can never come from our side, not one jot and not one tittle. It is all corruption. O Lord, remember us in thy mercy and give thy word a place in the hearts of both young and old together. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Care for us. Remember the children. And when there is no school in these days, and wilt thou watch over and protect each one from a sudden and from an unprepared death, that we may have a little meditation, a little separation by times, and that we might seek thee, especially in the days of our youth, and that thou may give in that Christmas day to be experienced in our souls, then we have all, and then the earth and the world has nothing. Forgive and take away all of our many sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. 381, 1, 2, and 3. With grateful heart my thanks I bring. Before the great in thy praise I sing. I worship in thy holy place and praise thee for thy truth and grace. And what follows? 1, 2, and 3 of 381.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Blessed.